Let us pray. God of life, truth, and love, move in this time. As we let the stories of courage and fear settle in our minds, speak the message that you have for us to our hearts. Remind us of the power of the good news that is lived out in the life and work of Jesus Christ. Give us a portion of his courage as we strive to be people who boldly proclaim the faith that we have found in him. We offer this and all our prayers in the strong name of our brother, our teacher, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as we continue this week through our Passion narrative, because that's what we've been doing through this journey through Lent, is hearing the story of the Passion narrative, something we often hear in one big chunk in that last week just before Easter, but we're hearing it in smaller bits to kind of take it in. The story jumps a bit from last week. We moved, if you remember, from an upper room to an interrogation room. But what happened in between is important to keep in mind as we consider this story. Last week we heard of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, readying them, their hearts, for what was to come, a time of turmoil, a time of persecution, a time when he would not be there to guide them on the way. Following the feet washing, Jesus offers his disciples some final teachings. And when all that has been said and done is done, he prayed over his disciples for what was to come. He then left with his disciples and went to the garden that they often frequented. They often went to this place together as a group. And there, they were met by Judas and a detachment of soldiers. Jesus, rather than try to flee or hide, offers himself to the soldiers, if only that they would let the disciples go. Peter, not understanding what was going on, fearing for his master, his friend, his teacher, tried to free Jesus. He grabbed a sword, slashed at one of the soldiers, cutting off an ear in the process. This isn't what Jesus wanted. So he commanded Peter to stop and went willingly with the soldiers. And that's where we find ourselves. That's where Greg picked up the reading. Jesus is brought by the soldiers before the father-in-law of the high priest. But we aren't hearing just one story, but two. Two stories of men being questioned, two interrogations, two very different paths being taken. Of course, there is the story of Jesus before Annas. He is questioned about what he has said, what he has done, and in everything, Jesus remains resolute, firm in the truth, denying nothing that he's done. We hear this story, and I think for many of us it is familiar. I think that somewhere in our minds we know we've heard it before. But the other half of the verses in this passage are dedicated to a story that I think we probably know better. Does anybody remember what the second half of the story is about? Other than Greg? What was it about? Peter! It was about Peter. Like so many of those most memorable and most relatable stories in the gospel, it's about Peter. This one in particular is about Peter's denial of any affiliation to the now criminal Christ. The way that John tells both of these stories in parallel is actually really significant. We go back and forth between the testimony of Jesus and Peter, one bearing the light of truth and the other hiding in the shadows of denial. While the reading starts with Christ being bound and brought before and asked for questioning, I want to first draw our attention to the story of Peter and those who questioned him. Peter finds himself in a tricky situation because the man he has followed, the teachings that he has believed in for so long, are coming into question in a very literal sense. As he strives to stay safely close to his teacher, but not too close, he is confronted by the question of whether or not he is a follower of Christ. The exact wording of the question is important because, in a way, it offers Peter an out. The woman who questions him asks, You're not one of these men, this man's disciples, are you? Right away, the woman is doing, who's doing the asking is suggesting that being found out as a follower of Christ is a bad thing. And so Peter responds with the safe answer, but one that is still a lie. I am not he. The phrasing of this lie is important because it mirrors the truth of Jesus' own statements throughout his ministry as the great I am. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am is a truth that Jesus never shied away from, even when in the garden, faced with the soldiers who came looking for this Jesus of Nazareth, he answers them, I am he. But here we have one of his first disciples, one later known as one of the greatest of his followers, declaring, I am not. What is even more jarring for us when we consider the story between the foot washing and where we find ourselves now, Peter, a man who is afraid to admit who he truly is to a stranger, is the same man who took up a sword, ready to fight, ready to die for a man that he loved, for teachings that he truly believed in. But now, he is afraid. Now he is afraid. Now he is uncertain. Now he chooses the shadows to hide his true nature rather than live in the light of truth because he might get burned. I mentioned a moment ago that the stories of Peter are so memorable because they are so relatable. They are relatable because we can see ourselves doing exactly the same thing as Peter in similar situations. Sometimes Peter is questioning Christ, asking exactly what we want to ask. Sometimes he does things that we would want to do, even if it lands him in hot water with Christ later on. And just as it is in the case of these other stories, so it is here. Peter is clearly in unfriendly territory, so who among us would act with any more courage? These stories are comforting in a way, right? Or they should be. Because Peter is a constant reminder that even when we doubt, even when we deny, that as far gone as we feel that we are, the path to forgiveness is ever open to us. That no shadow can overcome us so completely that the light of truth cannot shine through. But even if we feel deeply connected to Peter's story here, and we rightly should, we have to remember that it's told in parallel with Jesus' story. Both men are interrogated, and both men offer testimony in their own way. For Jesus' part, he's bound and brought before an ass as a criminal. To every question, Jesus offers the truth of his being. Everything that he has done in the light and before witnesses. And so he cannot and will not deny what's happened. Indeed, he goes as far as to challenge Annas, inviting him to question those witnesses if he really seeks the truth. Even when he is struck and shouted at by the policeman standing there, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he is resolute. Turning on the guard and inviting him to find the falsehood in his words, going a step further to chastise this guard in how he struck Jesus, when in everything he spoke plainly and truly. So out of these two stories, who is the true prisoner, Peter or Jesus? It is made clear that Jesus is bound and brought under force of the soldiers before his interrogator, but is he truly a prisoner? And Peter, no one is hindering his movement. He has the choice to follow or to flee, but is he truly free? Looking back on the story, and I mean the whole story of Jesus' life and ministry, it's hard to claim that Jesus is anything but free. Everything, every step has led to this place. And each step was made with intention on the part of Christ. He spoke often of the road that he must walk and that he would not turn from it. Even the story immediately preceding this one speaks to the truth of that. Jesus, knowing that Judas would betray him, went to a place that he and his disciples frequented often. When the guards arrived, he made no move to flee. He even commanded his followers, commanded Peter, to do nothing to hinder the soldiers. He's bound, but he is free, walking a road that he has chosen to walk, ever in the light, nothing to hide or run from. So chains are nothing to him. Peter, whoever he might be later, whoever he is transformed into after the resurrection, sees only treachery and danger now. And so he wraps himself in the shadows of denial to protect himself. He is bound by fear. He is chained by his own doubt. And the irony is that he is the one with the key. He need only testify to the truth and he will be free. We hear in this story all three denials that are offered by Christ. And we hear the cock crow as Peter did. And we don't hear anything about Peter until after the resurrection. This is the last time that we hear about Peter, the rock, until after the resurrection. But we also know that this is not the last time that Peter will be interrogated regarding who he is. Much later, after the resurrection, but before the ascension of Christ, Jesus is the one who questions Peter. He asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And to all three questions, Peter declares, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." After each question and answer, Jesus gives the simple command, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." I offer this glimpse into Peter's future because, as I said, his stories are so memorable because they are so relatable. Who among us put in the same situation would have acted differently from Peter? Who among us do not carry some chains that he bore? Chains of fear and doubt. Chains that we have wrapped ourselves in when we choose silence or denial when we are given the opportunity to testify to the way, the truth, and the life. Some of us, perhaps, are undoubtedly as free as Christ, because we have not hesitated to share the gospel. But just as many of us are prisoners like Peter. But there is good news for those who are trapped. There is light for those who seek the shadows of denial as Peter did. Jesus sought him out. Even after death, Jesus sought him out, offering the hand of forgiveness and reconciliation. So it is for you. So it is for all of us. There is no path that can take us so far that we cannot return. There is no darkness so deep that we cannot defeat it with the light of Christ. And there is no lie so complex or condemning that confession and truth cannot set us free. Like Peter, we are the ones who are keeping ourselves captive. And we are the ones with the key. We need only share our story of faith, the ways in which Christ has transformed us, changed our very being. We need only open our ears and our hearts to the call of the Holy Spirit, following it without fear wherever it leads us. So let us tell again the story of life and hope that makes St. Paul's a place where we were called to live out our faith. Because at some point in our lives, we were called here by our faith, in hope, in love, for a life lived in abundance. So let us celebrate that story of faith. And let us set aside the fear of death. Pick up that light and carry it boldly from today into all our tomorrows. Amen.